Welcome to KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program, where we explore issues and organizations related to our community. Talk of the Rock is hosted by members of the KMXT news team.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KMXT's Talk of the Rock. I'm Maggie Wall, and we're in KMXT's production room, and we got like a zillion people here with us today. Some of the cast and some of the people that are involved with the new show that's coming up called Newsies. And isn't that funny? I didn't even write the name of the show down, but I knew what it was. And I thought it was interesting. I looked online. It's got to do with the, I was telling them that earlier on air, the kids, they would sell papers in New York City, and then they went on strike. I looked that up on Google, is my friend. Okay, so we're going to start over here on the left, my left, which is Hala.
Halea.
Yes, there we go. Sorry about that. Halea Burnett. And you do a plumber.
I'm playing Catherine Plummer.
Catherine Plummer. I need you to talk into that microphone. Just like throw yourself
okay.
in.
I am playing Catherine Plummer, the assistant lead / love interest of the lead.
Yeah, that's what I thought was interesting, was the love interest. They just threw that into me as I was introducing everybody. Okay, Katie.
Yeah. I'm Katie McKinney, and I play Finch, who is one of the newsies.
All right. And then we have Ben Potvin, who is the other lover in this
boy.
Show. Yes?
Yes, I play Jack Kelly. And I am one of the leads in the play as well.
Sounds good. We have Bianca, which is
Hi.
Over on the other side of the room. Hi, Bianca. You did that really well.
Thanks. I tried.
Oh, you're welcome. You try. You did good. We got a couple of people sharing a microphone on the one side of the room. And Lucas Earl?
Yes.
And you, what is it you do?
I am Snyder the Spider.
Really? I mean, is that...
Yeah, I'm the villain of the show.
You're the bad guy.
Yes, I'm the bad guy.
He's the guy that tries to catch me.
Okay, Snyder the Spider. Do we spell Snyder with an I or a Y?
Why?
Snyder the Spider, gosh. New York City, they had all those names back in that era. Spider. All right, and then we also have Tricia with us.
Hello, Kodiak!
Yeah, Tricia knows how to do this, doesn't she? Tricia is the Director of Performance Arts for the Kodiak Arts Council. She's also the Assistant Director of this play. So I'm going to start over here again because I want to pronounce her name right. Halea.
Yay!
You did it.
Yes. There's hope for Miss Maggie, I'm telling you. Halea, tell me what the play is about. Tell me how you're getting romantically involved with Ben, who happens to be sitting on the end of the row there. We have someone between them, so nothing here in the studio.
So we're okay.
Nothing in the studio. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so it's like you said, it's about the real-life strike of the Newsboys in 1899. There was a whole article on it. My character is actually a real person, Catherine Plummer, or based off of a real person. And she does not like Jack at first. She's, like, kind of interested, you know, a little bit attracted, but she's like, he's a bad guy. Bad boy. I don't want to get involved with that. And then I really get into their cause, and eventually we just kind of click, I guess, and we fall in love.
Oh, how romantic. It is February still, barely.
barely.
Okay, since she brought you up there,
oh my.
Ben. Yes, Ben plays Jack Kelly. He's the other lead or one of the other leads. Tell me what's going on from your perspective. You play the guy. The guys always see those things differently, yes?
I do play the guy. So Jack Kelly is the leader of the Newsboys Union. And there wasn't a union at first. And the setting of the story is... Joseph Pulitzer gets together with all the owners and the editors of the newspapers, and he gets everybody to raise the price of the papers. But it doesn't raise it to the consumer. It's just to the newsboys who are having to pay out of their own pocket to buy the papers and then sell them back to the consumer. And so it raises the price, so they're out money, and they only make, you know, a few pennies a day. And so it follows the story of them getting together and not only going on strike as the newsboys, but also getting the whole city, the city's worth of kids, to go on strike against the entire city, whether it's the elevator operators, the coal miners, the shoeshine boys, or whoever it is, gets them to come out and show that the city is being run by these kids that are only being paid a very small wage.
I see. Now, isn't that interesting? Because having come from a family full of newspaper people, I just really could not, I couldn't do the paper boy route. I just couldn't do it. My brothers, my mother did a morning route. I mean, everybody in my, I mean, a long wall tradition of newspaper. I just couldn't do it. It embarrassed me or something, going door to door, dropping the paper off. I don't know. The whole thing was too weird for me. But I do understand that, and I don't know if everybody understands that. I don't know if they still do newspapers this way, but you would basically, you're independent contractors is yep. how it is, and they sell the paper. Okay, let's pretend. I'm making this all up, okay? say a newspaper cost 50 cents for the consumer.
Per hundred.
Okay, but I'm talking about, no, don't go there. You're confusing us. 50 cents. And so when they send the papers, this big stack of paper to the paper kid, then the paper kid only gets charged, I'm making these numbers up, okay, 25 cents, which means for every paper they sell, they would make 25 cents.
Yes.
And so what was happening then is these people in New York City, the publishers were saying, still 50 cents to the person buying the paper. Except they were charging the kids then, I'm making these numbers up, right, 75 cents. So instead of making 50 cents per paper, they were only making a quarter per paper. So, I mean, these were fictitious numbers, but that helps understand what was going on. They basically slashed the kids' wages.
Yeah. Absolutely. And also with that, Newsies was a lot of the kids were – this was the Industrial Revolution at this time. So factories were booming all over the place, and there was the conditions – child labor was cheap, but you had your 10-year-olds. They were working 12 hours every day for 6 days a week. Becoming a newsie actually meant that you were your own boss. You were you got to set your own hours. You didn't have to be in those working conditions. But it really depended on how many papers you sold a day, depended on how much money you got. And then if you used that money for food or if you used that for shelter, because that's where Snyder comes in. He was the owner of a refuge. And there were homes, these facilities, I guess you could call them, that were run partially by private interest, but also connected with the government at that time. And Snyder's job was to go around the town and pick up all the ruffians who were supposedly causing crime in the area. And he got money from the government for cleaning up the streets and putting these kids in his refuge. And money was supposed to go to the kids to feed and clothe them, but he took it and put it in his pocket. And so conditions were really, really poor in the refuge.
And so it's kind of like sold my soul to the company store, and he was the company store that stole those kids' souls. Okay, so I'll let you, Spider-Man, Snyder the Spider. Spider-Guy. Lucas, tell me about Snyder the Spider. Don't let her defame you like that, even though you are an evil person.
I'm actually a really nice guy, but it's fun to play the role because, like I said, it's the villain. So he's kind of the bad guy, and you know, my job is to kind of collect as many kids as I possibly can, and it's almost like a jail for these kids. And you know, I get paid by the government, so you know, it's fun to be the bad guy.
And so who were these kids? Were they mostly people from the city, people from the country coming in trying to find jobs and money to send home? Or who were all these kids?
Mostly orphans or kids whose parents weren't able to make enough money to cover the family's costs. So they were going out and selling newspapers to try and help the family out, or if they didn't have a family, to support themselves.
I see. And so if this was a sort of a good deal, see, because this was a whole different world that we're looking at here. Fortunately, a lot of those labor laws and kids don't have to work. And so much of that was so horrible, very bad period of history for this country and everywhere. It was, I guess, a lot of it the same. But if the newspaper, the newsies, were kind of their own person in business, why didn't other people want to get there? Why were they not wanting to get there from one of the mills or one of the other things where they made kids work themselves to the bone 24 hours a day, 18 hours a day?
I think the reason might have been twofold. One is it was a hard job because there was a great deal of risk involved because, like you said before, you had to pay out of pocket to buy all the newspapers, and if you couldn't sell them, you were out all that money. There was no buying back the papers at the end of the day. So if you didn't sell the papers, you didn't get any money, and you can only do that so much before you don't get any money back. If you were working in a factory, you just had to show up for work and do the work, and then you would get paid.
Right. That makes good sense. Where, like in my newspaper example, the Indianapolis Star News, it was, and now it's called the Indy whatever, I think, online. They would buy back the papers. But back in those days, it was like being a regular merchant. You bought them inventory, and then you were stuck with it. And who wants a day-old paper, right? Who wants a week-old paper? Right, okay, that makes more sense then. That makes sense to me then.
I was going to say, too, like if you look at a lot of these, like the character of Jack Kelly, he's kind of a free spirit and a roamer, so you wouldn't catch him like working in a factory on hours. So he gets to be his own boss and kind of do things his own way on his own time.
I get it. Okay. So now is there in this, you know how you go to the show and they always give the little handout and it talks about stories and stuff. Does it give a lot of the historical period in that thing, or are people going to be there? Because I'm finding this part very interesting. People are going to be there and kind of need to know the story ahead of time.
Well, that is a perfect segue. We have been working with Kodiak Daily Mirror, and they are going to be putting out a very special edition that's going to cover this whole historical period and the conditions that the kids were living and working under, and some of the, like they said, this story is based on a true story and also based off of historical figures. So you'll see a little bit of all of that. And that will be included in this week's paper. I believe on Friday it comes out. So please go pick up those papers and read all about it. Read all about it.
That's very good of them to do that. And it's a very good connection between the show and the newspaper and newspaper history. So that's really cool. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
It's been this whole production has been one of those amazing where they say it takes a village. In our case, it takes an island. We've had so many people come through and help this production from all different aspects with just making it happen. We even have our printing press came from the Glenn Massey Theater in Wasilla from A.J. Sims, and he's a director out of Kenai. They just got finished doing Newsies. And so they put it on a motorhome and put it on a ferry and brought it to us no cost. It's kind of neat to see how that kind of stuff comes together. And obviously Kodiak Daily Mirror, they've been phenomenal in helping us get the word out. And then we have, you know, your local businesses that are supportive and help us advertise and our banners and our posters. And we've got shirts made. And it's a big production all the way around. But it's been a fabulous, fabulous production.
Oh, it sounds like it'll be a lot of fun to watch. Will it make me cry?
Probably.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Okay. A tearjerker.
You'll also get goosebumps. We have, we call them the goosebump spots.
Oh, goosebumps. Why am I getting goosebumps?
Not going to tell you. Gotta come to the show to find out.
Am I scared or am I excited or am I like, oh, this is so wonderful?
Yes.
Combination.
The answer is yes.
All of the above. You're empowered.
Yes.
This show, this is my first show ever being in. And I've seen several different productions, not here in Kodiak, but I've seen different plays and whatnot. But this one is very different because it embodies a whole slew of emotions. It takes you through every different level of emotion that you can imagine. And it's amazing for anybody. So it's not just for one type of person. It, like, the whole family can come and enjoy it. Everybody will get something out of it for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Here, while you're talking there, Ben.
I talk too much.
No. Earlier on, you mentioned the Mr. Pulitzer.
Mr. Pulitzer, yes.
And I wanted to point that out because so many people think of it as Pulitzer. But it's actually the Pulitzer Prize from the Pulitzer family.
Yes.
But we all know who you're talking about when you say Pulitzer. So those old newspaper people, they were, I think of them and Hearst on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. Yes, William Randolph Hearst.
Right. They were a different breed of papers, I'll tell you. So anyway, I just wanted to point that out.
Pulitzer is actually played by Kodiak's Matt Freeman.
I was going to guess Matt.
Yes.
I
mean, you could just he does such an amazing job. Oh.
And that's rather ironic because Matt Freeman's parents, particularly Nancy, his mother, bought the newspaper, the Kodiak Daily Mirror, mm-hmm. many years ago from Jack. I can't think of his name right now. Jack. And Jack.
Kelly.
Jack was no, Jack. Don't throw kidding. That at me. Don't confuse us here. Jack, and then Jack and his son, I believe, owned the paper, and it was kind of a write-off for the boat, the big crabber from the crab era. And so Nancy and Dwayne bought the paper. Dwayne was a teacher here, and she had been a journalist here and been involved in other things. And so they had to turn that paper around and make a profit. Well, I was there at the time. And it was like a big change for people, but they just were amazing. That Nancy Freeman, she was an amazing gal. And then they were the ones that built a new building after their paper burned down across from Sutliff's, where the eye doctor's is. It was in that building. And then they bought that building, had it built, and then later since then they've sold the paper. But yeah, we have a very interesting newspaper history of our own.
Absolutely.
And that's just ironic or kind of fitting that Matt Freeman would play the publisher in this show. So we're talking with the people, some of the people involved in the production Newsy, about what is a Newsy, what's the history, what we can expect, and we're looking for this special section that's going to be in Friday's newspaper. And that'll talk about the history of newspapers and the government and society back then, how things were different during that period of our country's history. Okay, so everybody's pointing fingers here. Who wants to talk next? Uh-oh.
I was.
I see more fingers on Bianca than anybody else, so go ahead.
That doesn't surprise me.
Okay, I do have the answer. It was Jack Clark. Is that why? Did you say Jack Clark? Jack Clark was the publisher of the paper.
Congratulations, publisher Jack Clark.
Well,
any relation?
This was a long time ago. This would have been
no
the early,
relation to Bianca Clark.
The early 80s.
That I know of.
This would have been the early 80s. Okay, go ahead, Bianca.
Well, I am I'm Miss Meta in this production, and I am one of the Bowery Beauties, and so I have a lovely Bowery House, I suppose you would call it. People come to our shows, and we put on performances for possibly more adult audiences, though Jack and his newsboy friends do have a tendency to sneak in and notice these ladies performing. It's still very family appropriate. Just want everyone to know. But at the time, those big performances, I think, were a really big uplifter, and people enjoyed them, and I get to sing a really big, loud song and wear a fantastic dress. So I try to look after Jack a little bit and protect him from this mean spider here on my left. When they're trying to run away, I let him use my theater to hide out and try to just be a little bit of a motherly person to them when they don't have one. So
right. So now, do these kids, these newsies, were they always boys?
Oh, Jack.
No.
No.
And were there very many girls that did it?
Well, in real life, back in 1899, there were boys and girls that did it, and the newsboy strike was, when all the newsboys went on strike, it was mainly boys, and girls began to sell more papers, even when the newsboys didn't, and so eventually the girls went on strike as well, but, the main core newsies, quotes, were boys, but there were very many girls that were part of the strike as well.
Did they ever get out of it? I mean, did they ever succeed and move on?
From the strike?
You'll
no, from their careers. Their careers. Did you ever get out of this? Did you reach an age where you had to go work somewhere else? Or were you like always a newsie for... We couldn't have been if you were a kid. You had to outgrow it at some point.
There were several strikes that were going on during that time. This particular strike was the most successful. And yes, there was some conversations. They were able to come to an agreement, but because of this, for the next few years after, I believe it's almost 40 years before they actually put in the labor acts with
wise.
Yes. So it was because of this strike that things progressed, and we now have child labor laws enforced. And so eventually, yes, one of the things about this time period was that the kids were, if they were idle, they were assumed that they were going to be involved in crime. And it wasn't because of your lack of education. It was just because you were idle. So the kids just had to work and had to work, had to work. And like Jack had said earlier, to help support their families or just to support themselves if they were orphaned, because we had the Spanish-American War going on that lasted about 4 months, which actually was the this was also where the kind of the start of the media war began between the newspapers, who could get the fastest information out, who could get the best pictures out on the paper. And so that's where the there was a media war going on at the same time. So but when everything kind of smoothed out with the American and the Spanish War, there was no more exciting headlines. And the circulation was down, and they weren't selling as many papers because there's just nothing exciting going on. And so it got really rough. And so the people that did strike, we also have scabbers, people that were hired to come in and take over the other working people's jobs, and that caused riots. And it was just a vicious cycle of what happens.
How long did this whole thing last, the striking?
I want to come see the show now.
The big strike lasted 2 weeks.
2 weeks, okay.
Yeah. No. Kind of piggybacking off what Trish said, this strike was like what got child labor laws put in place. And a lot of, in the 1890s, it was changed for a lot of things. Women's rights, children's rights. I know ragtime was starting in the 90s, and that was kind of scandalous. And so more artistic freedom. And I think that this show is really important now because those kind of things are kind of reappearing in 2018, 2019 with change and getting equality among everyone.
Right, right. Plays often reflect a lot more than what they started out from. This play started in, I think I saw it online, 1990s. Mm-hmm. Is it that new?
That was the movie and the music. And the stage production started in what, 2012, I think. Yeah.
So it is a new production.
Yeah, well, the stage, yes.
Yes, new to the stage. Okay, so we have about 5 minutes left. We need to tell everybody when this show starts.
This Saturday evening.
Starts on Saturday.
At 7 p.m.
Opening night is this Saturday at 7 p.m. Then we have a matinee on Sunday starting at 2 p.m. Then if you had not the opportunity to catch either one of those, we roll right into the following weekend, a Friday night performance at 7 p.m., Saturday night, 7 p.m., and then again, our final performance is a matinee at 2 o'clock. People can go to the website for Kodiak Arts Council, which is www.kodiakarts.org. And you can buy your tickets through our website, or you can give us a call at the office, 486-5291. Wow, I don't ever call myself at the office. you can also go to our Facebook page, and there's links on just about every advertising that we do, where you can just touch the button and it will take you directly to our webpage, and that will take you directly to purchasing tickets for this event.
The Arts Council's webpage.
Yes, correct. Kodiak Arts Council.
Where you're going to post the picture of us.
I already posted a picture of us. We are floating all over Facebook.
I feel famous already.
Yep, give some thumbs up. Give some Maggie love.
Okay, that is like way cool. You know, here's a question I always mean to ask, and we always run out of time, but I have a little time here. What does it feel like to put all this time and effort into production and putting this play together, and it only runs for 2 weekends? Is that discouraging, or like, I just, that's a lot of work and not a lot of reward, is it? Okay, so...
So
this is Ben.
It's a lot of work, and it's going to be worth it for sure. And like I said before, this is my first show, so I'm speaking on it from I've never done this before. But the last 2 months, everybody told me it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. It's very stressful. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. It's a lot of work, and it's been very stressful, but it's worth it for sure. And I think having 5 large productions. After talking to Lisa, the Kodiak Arts Council used to do only, 2 or 3 for the big productions, and now we've stepped it up to 5. So that plus this entire week, we're doing a production every night for our rehearsal. So I think that it's good. 5 is a good number.
Having been in a few shows before, I know it's a lot of work and it's like a very long, drawn out process. But for me, what in the end it pays off is there's always this connection with the character, and there's a cathartic moment that is, I don't know, what people get from expressing themselves through art. And I think that this is just more of a build up to that.
I see. Anybody else want to comment?
So I think the cool thing too with being in community theater is everybody on stage has a job, as a mom, as a dad, going to school, running kids around to
Coast
swim
Guard.
Teams. Yeah, that too, you know. So it's not only that, but it's everything else in life. So there's a huge reward at the end of this, you know, and it's such a cool community and a widespread group of people that are doing so many different things during the day and then coming and doing this at night. So it's gonna be awesome.
All right, so that's great. So we're done. I told you it would go fast. You're listening to Talk of the Rock. I'm Maggie Wall, and we had a lot of very good people here with us talking about Newsy, the production that starts on Saturday. Look in Friday's newspaper for the historical references and understanding of what was going on at that time and how Newsy sold papers and how things worked back then. And then if you want more information, go online, Arts Council website, or call 486. I wrote it down. 5291. Well, at least I got the 486 right. So thanks for listening to Talk of the Rock. I'm Maggie Wall. This is KMXT Kodiak.
This has been KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program. Tune in next Tuesday at 12:30 to hear more about local issues and organizations.